Early Saturday morning, November 29th, 2008, after my wife, Maria, our four sons, and her mother left to pick up family before heading to the States, I went to work. At around 10 a.m., I received a phone call from Maria. The sound of her voice told me something was very wrong. She told me she had been in a car accident. Lorenzo was uninjured, but Andrew, Carl, and Matthew were unconscious. Her mother and aunt were seriously injured too. I drove to Royal Columbian Hospital. Maria was sitting on a bed and holding Lorenzo, who was a year and a half old and thankfully uninjured. Maria's eyes were filled with fear and concern. She had an abrasion on her cheek. Making my way to the opposite side of the emergency ward, I saw nurses and doctors look away from my gaze. Andrew and Matthew were in beds next to each other, intubated and unconscious. Carl had been flown to BC Children's Hospital. The chief doctor approached me and identified himself. He was gentle, but to the point. Matthew suffered a broken neck, and it had taken 30 minutes to get his heart started again. His vital signs were failing, even while on life support. He looked like he was sleeping. Andrew suffered major impact trauma to his lower face and bled from his brain. Only machines kept his heart working. I asked if either could recover at all. The doctor looked directly into my eyes and shook his head. He then asked if Maria and I would consider organ donation. I responded yes, but first I asked for a priest and that one be sent to Carl also. Six priests visited my sons over the next 8 hours. Andrew and Matthew were anointed four times, confirmed, and blessed once. Andrew and Matthew were relocated by ambulance to BC Children's Hospital. I gently told Maria that Andrew and Matthew were not going to survive. She and her cousin cried loudly in each other's arms. I drove Maria, Lorenzo, and her cousin to BC Children's Hospital to see Carl. A series of tests were done to determine if any improvement had occurred in Andrew's and Matthew's condition. A second series of tests the next day confirmed the official time of death as 9 p.m. Saturday night. Carl lay in an induced coma, his head bandaged for a large laceration to the top rear of his head. Tubes protruded from his mouth. A brace covered his neck. Both legs were in casts. He suffered a spinal cord injury at chest level. His paralysis is permanent. He was brought out of the coma on Monday. Soon after, Maria and I told Carl that Andrew and Matthew had died. Looking back, I knew the grace of God supported me. Even as I drove from Delta to Burnaby that Saturday morning and words were incapable of expressing my soul's cry to God, there was resignation to his permissive will. Over the next hours and days, I knew in my soul that death was not the most terrible thing that could happen to my boys. I knew they were alive in Jesus and that I was called to witness to this truth without knowing why this was allowed to happen to them and to us. I had a simple devotion to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament since I was young, but my relationship deepened as I took life's troubles to him through Our Lady and trusted him to resolve them, and he did. Graces came to me when I needed to trust, even when things seemed almost hopeless. I learned about the sacrificial nature of love. I learned that I am responsible for improving myself before worrying about the failings of others. I learned that grace is given me and growth toward God are to be used for others too. Once I responded to the Lord and began visiting him regularly in the Blessed Sacrament, our time together became a necessity. At times, I pray the rosary for many intentions, and I often plead with the Lord from my heart to be a better man, a good husband, a role model for my sons, and most of all, to be the man the Father created me to be. The pain caused by the deaths of Andrew and Matthew and the paralysis of Carl brought me into a deeper relationship with our Lord by recognizing the redemptive power of suffering offered for others. Often it seemed that other people I encountered after the accident needed to see that these truths of the faith actually lived out in someone's life. People need to see that the faith makes a difference, that it makes all the difference. The loss of my sons has also deepened my relationship with Our Lady, for she buried her child too. And while she was able to see her risen son before She died. It is faith in the risen Lord that assures me I will see Andrew and Matthew again when God wills. Some people might think my prayer life would have very serious and sad overtones since the accident, but I would like to share an experience that disproves that. One day at Mass, the priest elevated the host at the consecration. There in the host, for the first and only time, I beheld the Lord Jesus as though on a throne, and he was smiling at me. The first impression I had was that he approved of my devotion toward him, but there was more, almost a playfulness in his eyes, and suddenly he showed me my sons beside him, and they were so alive. 6-year-old Matthew jumped and danced and laughed around the Lord. 9-year-old Andrew, more reserved, stood smiling and staring at me as though to say, "I'm here with Jesus, Dad." The message was that if I wanted to spend time with my sons, I could do that every time I received the Lord in communion. Because when I receive communion, I receive heaven as well. I will never forget the way the Lord tilted back his head and laughed at the happiness of Andrew and Matthew. He seemed happy to have given me this joy too. I pray that my family's story may help others trust in the love of God through all life's joys and pains. That's the power of Jesus' resurrection. And that is the best kind of evangelization. So we should praise Jesus for his power. And I want to invite all of us today, right now, and during this Mass, just to renew our trust and our belief in Jesus and to renew our love for him, especially for some of us who were struggling in our faith. Jesus is offering us a great gift that we see his power, and we can choose to believe and choose to trust in him more. And when we're ready, we can make a commitment to him. We thank Jeff for his courage and generosity to share. Jeff is a very private man, but I asked him, could we share this? And he said yes, and so he wrote this for us. I asked him about the Eucharist, because what's our community centered on? I can't hear you. You got it. And we're going to be opening our chapel on June 30th. And that, here and there at the altar, is where we receive every grace. There is no other story of Jesus like yours, so only you can share it. Stories strengthen souls.